Blog Talk Radio.
Unmuted.
Relactu, welcome Billy. Everyone to welcome to Missing Pages on History. As your host, Lee Robinson, we're basically going to be discussing what's going on in Neck of your Woods. You know, from time to time, we have these discussions because it becomes very important that when we look at our history and look at our realities, many times we talk about corporate media or savage media, they do not reflect the things that are going on in underserved communities. So we lack to know what's going on in our people, what's going on among our people within our community, so we can be better informed in terms of how we can improve our community and how we can more effectively communicate with one another on our community. So tonight, or this evening rather, we invite our audience to call in at 818-337-0016. That's 818-337-0016. We ask you to call in to share with us what's going on, what is going on in the neck of your woods, so we can be able to understand not only what's going on, but getting it from a primary source. And when we say a primary source, we're talking about those who are living in the communities and who have been affected the most by these issues and concerns. So again, welcome to Missing Pages of History. As usual, we have our contributors and analysts for Missing Pages of History. It's going to be giving our perspectives on what's going on in the Neck Valley Woods. And we'll start first with Mr. Joyner out of North Carolina. Welcome, Mr. Joyner, and can you tell our people what's going on in Neck of your Woods and maybe some ideas of some current events that you think is important to bring to our people's attention? Welcome, Mr. Joyner.
Welcome, welcome. In the neck of my woods, of course, we have a lot of snow. We're trying to combat that, and people are still stranded. We have power out, and we're working on that now. We didn't do a very good job. Atlanta should have taught us something, but again, when you start from North Carolina all the way down, we have a problem with the snow. We don't get much snow, so we don't allocate a lot of resources to that. The sand and salt is coming in pretty good. I think we're through with it now. I think with the heavy snow is bypassed us. We might get some flurries later on, but February is our snow month, basically. And so the weather's supposed to go up to 70 degrees next week, so which is fantastic. There's some other things going on with our governor, Governor Corey. There's a problem with Progress Energy dumping sludge. And it's causing some things that we should not cause, but health-wise, for drinking the water. Now, he used to work for Progress Energy for 28 years, so a lot of things that has happened where they're dropping the sledge at, it's been okayed, and the suitcases have been, basically thrown out by his people of administration because he used to work for them. So they feel they get favoritism. And at the same time, they've been fined only $100,000. These are billion-dollar corporations doing this. They haven't cleaned up the ones that are in Asheville and Charlotte and other places, so they choose these places to dump the sledge in, and which is basically making doing harm to the water, drinking water and fountain water, bathrooms and everything else, cooking. So this is a big problem we got here. Also in my neck of the woods here, everybody's talking about the Florida incident in Jacksonville with Michael Dunn shooting this young teenager. This is huge news, and everybody's talking about Chris Christian. This is getting to be in our radio waves, TV waves, everything else. It's New Jersey. We know that's a very corruptive state, always have been. And they arrested, I think, 4 or 5 years ago, about 29 people from congressmen to mayors, everything else. Because, again, when Atlantic City came in there, we know there was going to be a whole lot of corruption, and it's still going on. New Jersey is a corruption state. And the mayor, of course, and the governor, we feel they're in on it, on a lot of this stuff. A lot of the mayors that affect them, basically, especially the mayor of Hoboken, these people here have been having a rough time because of Bridgegate. But that's what's going on in Record of Wood. People discussing this it is entirely. But contracts and this type of thing and big areas are being developed, and developers, this has always been very collaborative and always been corrupted. So again, you know, this is what's going on in our neck of the woods. Well, one more thing for us. If the voting, wow, the voting things here is getting very hectic too. And stand your ground law is getting, we adopted that. So now we got all this stand your ground law, just all the shooting incidents is happening, and people right away crying self-defense. Another incident I'm going to bring up real quickly is the one in I think it's Tampa, Florida, where a former police officer killed a young man, and the movie was texting the babysitter while the previews were going on. The preview, not the movie. And the guy told him, stop texting. He went out to his car, got his gun, came back, and killed this young man, shot his wife in the hand. The police arrested him. He walked to his car with a bottle of water in his hand, no handcuffs on, no leg eyes, no nothing. Just got in the car with his bottle of water. Now, that's the way you do an arrest of someone and kill somebody? Premeditated? But this is what goes on when this happens. And I'm not saying this is a racial thing. I know for a fact if a black person had done this, they wouldn't have walked to the car with a bottle of water in their hand and put themselves in the car. You saw how George Zimmerman got arrested. This young lady down in Florida, she shot at her husband, didn't shoot nobody in the garage. He was attacking her, and she got 20 years. But they're going to redo the trial now. She shouldn't have gotten no time. That was self-defense. But self-defense and stand your ground is not for you. Understand who this law is for. Understand the connotation of this law. So a lot of program, we're going to do a show on this type of, on the arrest procedures, how certain people get arrested. And also we discussed about search and frisk, I think, in New York, where the mayor came and said, that's not going to happen anymore. They're not going to appeal it. It's over. So they had stats on that that proved that the numbers were preposterous of what happens when they do this. And one young man, 17 years old, he got arrested 65 times. He got put up against a wall, sitting on the curb doing this. You know, this frisking thing. So that's over. I'm glad of that. But again, these are kind of things that's coming up right now and being discussed in some of the states that the voting thing is getting out of hand. So one guy came on and said, you should vote according to how much money that you have. If you got $1 million, you should have 1 million votes. Opposed to $1 million person having 1. So they're looking at this now. Where money will decide how many votes you get or this or that. So again, what happened with Barack Obama never happens again. If they don't get who they want up in there, then they're going to find a way to circumvent the voting, the Constitution, some kind of way. One man, one vote. So they figured that billionaires and millionaires are talking this way, that you got to make, who paid the most taxes should have more votes. Who pays the most taxes? So this is being looked at some of the states. This might come to the floor. I don't think they're joking, but they got to do something with the voting because as of right now, the country is changing, and the voting is changing. So, of course, the southern states, the scholar wags or whatever, versus the carpetbag, and it's still the north and south thing. It's never going to stop. And, again, the extension of slavery is never going to stop. So all this stuff, racism, all this stuff, this is a given. Understand it. This is a given. And you got to jump across that hurdle. That hurdle is already there. Forget about that. Discrimination, Jim Crow, new Jim Crow, is here to stay. It's how you fight and get around it. Like I said before, we got to look at things a certain way. Which we're in North Carolina here, I told everybody that I'm speaking again at different places. At the summer come, I'll be speaking even more to vote. Get what you need to vote. You know, don't this voting thing, voting on Sunday, doing this, doing that, forget it. get there to the polls early, get the days they want you to vote, just do it. Blame yourself. Stop blaming what's going on. That's not going to happen. They're not going to change anything. It's way more of them than way more of us. So if you don't want to vote on Sunday, you don't want to vote after church, you go late, the polls are open, go. We got to do what's set up. The rules are set. We can't make excuses because they set rules. We're 13%. That's all we're the population. We're only 7.5% of the voters. That's all we have. Understand that. You're a huge, huge minority, one of the large minorities. And, of course, the Hispanics, you know, they're about 11% undocumented, but they got 52 million of them here and only 41 million of us. All of us don't vote, 41 million people, some are children. So we got to look at this thing. Looking at felonies now. They're trying to do misdemeanors to make it more felonies so you can't vote in certain states. Well, we're going to arrest you more than arrest anybody else and give you more time than anybody else. So all of this stuff we have to look at in missing pages of history, so our future programming will look something like this, telling people what's going to happen on the next show, what we're going to do this and do that. So this is what we're talking about. And these are things that happen in my neck of the woods that are being discussed on a daily basis, looking at voting. That's our summit. Are we looking at voting? We're looking at job creation. We're looking at unemployment. We're looking at extension of corporate benefits. We broke the benefits down from $520 a week to $350 max. That's the most you can get, regardless you made $100,000 a year. That's all you're going to get is $350. So everything is being looked at. Opportunities are getting less and lesser. Entrepreneurship is getting less and less because of competition. So understand, people, in your neck of the woods what's going on and stay abreast with it. Check your community calendars. Get involved as much as you can. But again, make sure that what's going on with you, that you understand it. You're going up, everything going to increase. The gas going to increase. The electric bill's going to increase because it's just the way it is. Things are happening this way, and you got to do what they call a full adjustment. They're trying to do everything they can the next 2 or 3 years to try to get this president out of office, probably the best president we ever had, because he understands. He's a constitutional lawyer, so he understands. They can't do nothing with him. They can just talk. But he spotted most of these guys by a long shot who's talking. And the Tea Party is real strong. The Tea Party is getting stronger here in North Carolina. The Tea Party getting strong in other states. They're putting Tea Party candidates up. And people on the right are supporting these candidates for lots of money. And you know, we listen to But this is things that we do so that my part of the state, my state in North Carolina, we are doing some gregarious things that we should not be doing it, and we're doing it abundantly.
All right, Mr. Jordan, we can stop it right there. We let that listening audience know today. Our topic is what's going on in the neck of your woods. And we're going to do something a little different today. We're going to actually our contributors, the analysts, to hold on for a few minutes. And we're going to take some callers who have been waiting real patiently to share with us what's going on in the neck of their woods. We can call off your last four numbers. And when we call off your last four numbers, we can ask you to state your first name and tell us where you're calling from. So right now, we can go to our caller number 0673. Caller 0673. What's going on in the neck of your woods? Yes, Carl. Would you like to speak, Carl?
I'm just listening.
Okay. Listen. No problem, Carl. Thank you. All right, let's continue. That's one of our audience who just wanted to listen. We thought he wanted to have something said. You ought to be reminded that when you call in, if you have something to say, make sure you push the button number one. So let's go out to Pennsylvania, where our contributors and analysts in Pennsylvania, Micaiah and June. Welcome to Missing Pages. Can you share with our people what's going on in the neck of your woods? Brother Mikhail.
Peace. This is Mikhail out of Philadelphia, PA. And like Mr. Joyner said, it's been a snow event. We haven't had snow like this in years. I think we actually broke a record this year for snow events over 6 inches, and we're still digging out. Was in New York recently, same situation there. They're overloaded with snow, too. But thank goodness it's finally seeming to let up a little bit, getting a little rain now. other than that, it's the same old story. We do have something interesting going on in Philadelphia today. Sister Empress has a direct call for direct action, an emergency town hall meeting, public hearing, confronting the crisis facing Black Philadelphia, and it's entitled The Demise of Our Neighborhoods. That's today, Saturday, February 15th, 2014, 4 to 7 p.m. at the Church of the Advocate, 1801 West Diamond Street, Philadelphia, PA, 19121. Topic is gentrification, Black population removal, affordable housing crisis, and land use issues. And the admission is free. And if you want to get in touch, you can call Brother Elliot at 267-205-1570. Concerned citizens of Point Breeze, which is in South Philadelphia. That's 215-490-4827. And the National Million Woman March Movement, that's 267-636-3802. And also Sister Jamila at 215-765-9500. And Sabur Muhammad out of Southwest Philly at 267-253-5444. And we see this problem nationally. New York City is the same thing. Harlem is not the place it used to be. That's where I grew up. Folks are moving in. The prices on property are extremely low. A lot of foreclosures, a lot of abandoned properties. And we have quite a few people moving in with big money to take advantage of that situation. Student housing is a big thing here in Philadelphia. And the problem is that as the neighborhoods are being gentrified or reconditioned, the tax rate goes up astronomically. One neighborhood may be $500 a month for taxes. And once that process takes place, you may end up paying $1,000 or more. And that's killing a lot of folks who don't have that kind of income and can't handle that kind of a change. So that's what's happening here in Philadelphia. Folks will be there at the Church of the Advocate this Saturday, today, at 4 p.m. It's free, 1801 West Diamond Street in Philadelphia. And if you want, you can call in, and we'll give you these contact numbers and more information.
Okay. Let me ask you one thing before I go to my next caller, Mikhail. Have you got any kind of update recently on the event or the accident that took place about a week and a half ago where four young boys were walking home from school, were going to another school to play a basketball game, and one of them was stopped by the policeman and one of them was pat down by a young female cop, and she ended up rupturing one of his intestines. And I know there's been a big issue over that. What is the status of that particular case? Do you know anything about that particular update on the female cop, how she brutally violated this young man?
I don't have any further information about that. We've heard something about that case earlier, but this is part of what seems to be a national trend. We have several cases going. I think there's the Michael Dunn case where he shot the young fella who was playing his music too loud along with his friends. There was another case, I'm not sure what state this was in, there was a shooting in a movie theater over someone texting. So you have the gun problem, and you have this kind of an angry white male syndrome seeming to go on, along with the usual police problems in terms of black youth and their safety when being confronted with the police. It hasn't really gotten any better at this point. It seems to be that there's just a general feeling of high tension with a lot of folks, and they seem to be expressing that by taking it out on whoever they can get their hands on, especially those without power, without financial backing. We've always noticed that the folks who have finance and connections do seem to get away with basically murder.
Okay, we're going to our next contributor analyst. We're going to Virginia. I understand a lot of things been going on in Virginia. I've been seeing things all on the news. How about Virginia, Richmond in particular? We'd like to bring in analyst Susie. Can you give your views, perspective on what's going on in Nick of your Wood in Richmond, Virginia? Do we have Andy Souza on the phone?
Hello? Hello?
Yes, what's going on, Nick of your Woods? Yes, yes.
Okay.
You're
Nick of the Woods, the Supreme Court has overturned the lesbian gay right to marriage, saying that it constitutionally it was unconstitutional. But even though this is one, they feel like the lesbian gay community feel like this is one victory for them, but they still are pursuing going to courts because they got other states that need to deal with the same issues as Virginia had and everything. But they were all out in force at the courthouse on Thursday and Friday protesting how they were glad for that decision. And other than that, like they didn't want to be in other situations.
In terms of that incident, I believe, if you look at it, call it correctly, it was the Virginia State Supreme Court. We're not talking about the National Supreme Court. Am I correct?
Right, that's right. But
Virginia
eventually
State
they
Supreme.
Come out taking it to the. They want that same fight to go on. Because they won here, they want to take it national.
Okay. That seemed to be a lot in the news, the right to marriage same sex. And, you know, that's really interesting in terms of the public play that particular issue has been getting in relationship to other issues that are going on nationally and internationally. I'm just wondering why is that particular issue getting a lot of publicity versus other news that may be going on. I'm just really curious in terms of from a perspective of looking at news that people can use. Do you think they are over-dramatizing this issue of same-sex marriage, or is it really a serious issue that affecting the whole community as a whole? Mr. Joyner out of North Carolina, what is the makeup of North Carolina? Where do they view themselves? The people view themselves. How do you view this issue of same-sex marriage?
Well, I don't deal with that a whole lot. I just look at the promotions behind it. You watch television a lot, that's where your promotions come from. Same-sex marriage is called a modern family. Where you look at the word, look at the title of the of different shows on television, the names they give them. But the one that sets out most of all is the modern family. You see marriages in groups. You've seen Queen Latifah. I think she married about 15 same-sex marriage people during the controversy that she married. Also, I think on the Steve Harvey show, they did a group marriage again. And they got the license for one day to do this and brought a person in from Las Vegas. Been doing this for 47 years. The judge brought it to make it all legal. And of course, they have to sign the paperwork. But I look at it as being something that we got to deal with. Again, I'm not I'm a man and wife person. I believe in Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve. That's just me. Now, I can deal with it, again, because of what it is. Almost everyone in their family have someone of this, have this gender. My family has some people like this in the gender. Yes. I get along with them? Yes. They know what I'm all about? Yes. So we keep it we don't look at it as an issue. We still look at it as a relationship, and that's where I look at it. I still call them Mr. or whatever, or male, a male connotation, you might say, and I keep it that way, just the way I am. But again, when I go to the church, I see the same thing. When I go to different gatherings, restaurants, I see it all over to a certain degree. And again, I'm a biblical person, and I believe in man and woman. That's just me. That's just my belief. Everybody has a right to their belief, I believe. Individual rights are here and there. And like I said, the Supreme Court, federal level, of course, the Supreme Court. The state courts, they have a lot to do with it, and they're making their, off Carolina, we're making our rules here. It's a biblical state, so they're not going for it too much because, again, this is the Bible Belt. So it's going to be very difficult to get it down south. You see where it is. But states have adopted it. It's not the southern states. And North Carolina, you know, anything south of the Mason-Dixie, there's going to be some restraints. There's going to be a lot of resistance. But again, people go to other states, get married, and come back. Because it brings on other issues when you do this. Adoption of children, divorce, it brings on other things, especially in the courts. In one case, it was going to come up, of course, a young man that overdosed. The movie started overdosed. He's got $40 million left, and, of course, he's married with three children. But he had a friend, again. A modern family, they call it modern family. He is suing too for $20 million. Whoa! So these are kind of things that's going to happen. So this going to be a real, real case here of finding what's going on. This happened in a lot of cases now at the at smaller court levels when getting divorces from these type of people from this gender when the gender is the same, and when you do real estate deals. This is happening all over, so now everything, paperwork has to be adjusted to fit what's going on. When it says male and female, oh my, and you're married and you got two males, that's a problem. Not really a problem, but paperwork has to be adjusted to do that. And some of the states are very staunch in their, you know, in their paperwork. They don't want to change that. So this is what it is. Like same in some other forms. They have black, they have white, they have Asian, they got this, and we got two colors on there, black and white, but everybody else is something else. But now, when you have a black mother or white, you know, father, whatever, then you're biracial. There's no biracial thing on there. So that's a problem. That's going to be a problem later on. But these are the kind of things that, you know, we got to look toward. Because in some of the countries in Europe, they have, you know, a status called Balato. So in Africa, they got Balato. South Africa has Balato. That's another race of people, basically. Not using the word biracial. They want to put the word racial. They want to use the word just Balato. And that's a word that's been used quite some time. But again, you know, addressing your question solely, I'm not an advocate of it, of course. But again, I see it all the time. And I've still got the same ways. You can stop it, nip it in the bud right away. If you're coming on to me, I'm so I don't, you know, I'm not in that, I'm not foregone into that type of thing. So I still leave it male and female, like anything else. You just got to state your position right away and nip it in the bud right away if you're not going to participate in that type of thing, but you're going to respect it. Because, again, it's a civil thing. I'm going to respect it. But I still believe in, you know, male and female, and a marriage to me is either male and a female. That's just me. That's my opinion. And North Carolina is going to be very difficult adopting that because, again, we're in the Bible Belt.
Okay. We'd like to alert our listening audience this evening that we can go over a little bit today, and if you want to hear the entirety of this program, always, you can go to www.blogtalkradio.com/ and type in missing-pages-of-history. And you can go to our archive and view all the programs that we have done. So we want to remind you, you always go to our archive and remind you also that this is a bi-weekly program. Every other Saturday at 12 noon, you can always dial in to listen to Missing Pages History. And we also like to encourage you that we have an upcoming raffle on the 22nd of February during Black History Month. You can support us by purchasing some raffle tickets. If you need tickets, you can reach us at 804-519-0357, or you can email us at missingpagesofhistory1@yahoo.com, and we will respond. We appreciate all support, because what we're trying to do is use information to help build and develop our communities. We are building strong communities through communications. So we thank you for your listening today, and we thank you for your support. Remember, our raffle is next Saturday. That's 22nd. We'd like to have your support. Now we'll go back to one of our analysts and contributors back in Pennsylvania, Brother McHale. We'd like to raise this question. You talk about gentrification up in Philadelphia. We know gentrification is an issue in Philadelphia, but we also know that what all of these states have in common, Philadelphia, North Carolina, and Richmond, is the question they have a school crisis. What is happening with the present situation, school crisis? And I'd like for you to share that with our people and with our people today. What's going on with the crisis in Philadelphia, school crisis, Brother McHale?
Okay, it's the same problem that's all over the place. It's not really just the Philadelphia thing. It's you see it in New York. My sister happens to be a school teacher. She's not too far away from retirement, and from her perspective, and I hear the same thing here in this area, it's a problem of having a large system that doesn't really address the needs of the lower-income peoples that live in those areas, whether it's Harlem, Philadelphia, Richmond, Raleigh. The problem is that you have these national agendas, state agendas, that are not actually working for those who start off with the least. So when you have a family that's from a background that doesn't have a lot of education, not a lot of resources, those children are starting off at a very large disadvantage. And the public schools tend to be test-oriented rather than learning-oriented. So these are some of the problems that we have. And what's ultimately going to be our saving grace would be to handle a lot of these issues locally on our own. We can continue to vote for various institutions, organizations, parties, political or otherwise, but until we get right to the root of the problem and begin addressing the homes that our children are coming out of, we're not going to get much result. We need to be able to get into the homes and supply the information that they're not getting in the schools. The schools will give you a piece of paper if you manage to get to that point. If you manage to graduate high school, now you have a high school diploma. But what does the average inner-city school provide in terms of information and knowledge to those children? Generally, people grow up and go through these school systems with the idea of getting a job, but not to have a business of your own. That information does not usually come from the schools themselves. So in a situation where there are very few jobs, especially for somebody with just a high school diploma, what happens next? If you don't have that high school diploma, what are your opportunities going to be from there? There's a lot of construction in this area here in Philadelphia. Investors have come in. They buy 10, 15 of these abandoned properties, and they hire people who basically look like them. So we have construction companies from out of state. They come in, and they employ family members and folks mostly like themselves. Other than that, you have a large immigrant population which is able to come in, and because of their financial exchange rate from the countries they come from, it works good for them. They can come here and work for a fairly what we consider a low wage, but when they take that money home to whatever country they come from, that dollar is multiplied by 10 or 20. So what kind of skills are we giving our children? Are they learning to be carpenters, to be masons, electricians, how to run a company, how to get the access to the finance that will allow you to run a company? These are the things that we have to begin to work on outside of the voting system. And so these are things that we have to do ourselves. And people here in this area are beginning to work in that area.
You sound like you're re-raising the same issue that exists on the book T. Washington Frederick Douglass era when they were debating on what's not what's in terms of the question of education, what is most suitable for our kids. Some people say they need to have that intellectual development. Other people say they need to be more practical, be skill-based. That sounds very familiar. Mr. Joyner, in terms of North Carolina, what's the situation, the school situation down there? Where you at? And how are the people dealing with it? And what is some of your solutions dealing with this so-called school crisis?
So North Carolina ranks, I think, number 46 in the nation. And we get, you know, our college system is, you know, fantastic, but on the secondary level, it's because of the rural area, because a lot of rural people live in the rural areas here. It's just farmland, basically. And but the biggest thing that's happened with us right now is our teachers are leaving for more money. That's the biggest thing. That's the headline. Now, we got to retract the teachers because the governor, again, you know, they want to keep the federal government out. If the federal government, we pay taxes to the federal government and let them come in, they can do a lot of things for us. See, but when you got people in office that, again, you got the dividing line, the disadvantage line and advantage line, you got a disadvantage to an opportunity and an advantage to an opportunity. Opportunities, but again, it's disadvantage how you get there. And we gave the team by being the executive order coming from the governor a 14% raise. Now, that's not the teachers who've been on the job quite some time. I don't have all the details on it. But again, teachers start the entry level to keep them here, they got the 14%. I don't know where that's for the first 3 or 4 or 5 years, they get 14%. But the people who are about to retire and been in the system for a long time, they're the highest grade, you might say. They're making 50, 60, 70,000. They're not going to get a raise. The ones who start out at 30-something thousand, early 40s, they're going to get the raise, which I think the Fed should be done. That's what's going on here. Now, for the school system concerned, superintendents are coming, another superintendent's coming in. We had a superintendent from the military, with I think a 3-star general or something. I have no idea why they made him superintendent. I have some ideas why they made him, but I have no doubt where they made him that. Didn't have a background for doing anything of this magnitude. But again, you get the wrong people in the wrong places, so the wrong things happen. And that's what happened. Again, in the inner city, again, you're trying to run a state that don't want to pay a lot of taxes, to the special corporate taxes. They don't want to do that. They want us to give them subsidize, put them on corporate welfare so they can pocket the money. The average CEO in this country makes $9 million or 200 times the worker. That's alarming stat. 200 times more than a worker. North Carolina here, under $15,000 a year for people here, which is poverty wages. 47% of the country in poverty wages. So you can do a lot. Education and finance, all this stuff romance each other. You have to have money to have school construction, and as well as second, you're talking about education, books, supplies, all this has to come into place. The most modern things. I have a niece of mine, well, I'll call her my niece, but she's actually my god sister. She goes to China and look at the institutions there. She heads up the system in Baltimore City. And she has a PhD from Johns Hopkins, one of the first blacks to get one there, I think the first one. And she goes to different countries and come back and bring these solutions back, what they're doing there. Well, we can't do what they're doing there. Communism versus democracy. Different ballgame. They tell you what you're going to be. Well, you can't tell me I want to be a doctor. You can tell me I'm going to be a mathematician or be a scientist or be a carpenter or electrician. But they tell you what you're going to be there. They give you a test when you're 3, 4, 5 years old. And they test where you're going to be an Olympian, what you're going to do this or that. We can't do that here. So going there and doing that and bringing it back here, that's not the way to do it. We have testing things for people to do, but again, most of the time, our kids see what people are doing, and they try to emulate that, whereas in music, whereas in medicine, whereas in engineering, they sort of pick and choose. So we can't quite do the selective process, but we can sort of guide people, where you have counselors to guide people. I think we need more counselors who understand the level they're working with. Now, how to bring these kids up to a certain level of degree, it's got to start at the home. When they you learn more as a child between the ages of 2 to 5 years old than that you learn in life. Then to state that, you learn how to walk, you learn how to talk, People don't understand something. I have to explain things to them when I say that to them. You learn more in the ages of 2 to 5 you're going to learn in your life. That's amazing. Because when you learn how to do everything, where the stove is hot or cold, where water is cold or hot, you need to drink the water to do it. All this stuff happens. And most of them get their first friend going to be a cat or a dog. That's their first friend. Or a mice. Or whatever little pet they get, a parakeet. This is where they learn. And that's where the parents got to start teaching them. Then giving the school to be your babysitter. A teacher to be your babysitter, or the kindergarten to be your babysitter, or the daycare to be your babysitter. You have to set aside. It's got to start at the home first. We got it all backwards. Our parents started at the home first. We had a bulletin board at the house. We had all the school at the house when I was 3, 4, 5 years of age. And this is the way I see it. People going to listen to me? I don't know. But this is where it all starts.
Okay, Mr. Jordan, I'm going to have to stop you right here, but I would like to do something real quickly. Well, you and Michaela, I would like to have a quick response because we only have a few minutes left. And I would like to get your response to this particular statement. There seems to be a large degree of political corruption going on throughout the states, throughout the cities. And there seem to be that, you know, when we look at this political corruption, many times they only highlight the corruptions as relates to the black or African politicians. Real quickly, what did y'all think about the 21 charges against Ray Nager of New Orleans? They found him guilty of 21 charges. What is y'all general take on that? That's a quick response concerning this question of corruption, which is not just limited to black politicians. Mr. Joyner, quickly, and then Michaela, and we're going to have to tune out until the next program. Quick response, Mr.
I haven't sort of kept up with Ray Nagel. I've been keeping up with Chris Christie and a little bit of Virginia, the governor, former governor of Virginia, see what's going to happen. Because I know what happened in Detroit with the mayor of Detroit. I know what happened to the mayor of Atlanta. I understand, this is what goes on when you have, you know, minority mayors and cities and whatever. And what they try to do is make these, you know, they make them a little bit more, you might say, they advocate more of punishing them much, much, much more. I look at Jesse Jackson's son. He's in Butler now. And his wife will, so when he leaves, his wife's going to come in. So these kind of things, and they talk, and they do the good side and the bad side. They say, why we need to both of them to jail at the same time? Because they have children. So what the wife would be to get up, we need to let him out, of course. Okay, well, we understand that, Pastor. That's all understood. But the sentencing,
okay.
I don't understand much, you know. But again, they have better lawyers. They get very good lawyers. They're connected. Everything comes into play, just like Chris Christie. The charges are coming against him. Look what's going on with that. They're trying to stop things as they go. You don't have that power to stop things as they go. But again, you know, every time you get a mayor of color, you're going to have these problems.
All right, let me get a quick response from Michaela. Less than 1 minute, Michaela. The indictment of Mayor Nagel, what is just your general response to that?
My general response is this, that corruption game, that I think it's the Ecclesiastes said there's nothing new under the sun. So when politics equals corruption, generally speaking, when it comes to the black mayors or whatever, black officials, they need to be very aware that they're under scrutiny and the FBI stings. We just had Tony Mack of Trenton, the mayor there, guilty on all counts of corruption cases, and I believe that was part of a FBI sting. You can't get away with it just because somebody else did. So we need to be very much careful and circumspect as considering any kinds of corruption that we are asked to begin to participate in.
Good, good. We'd like to thank everybody, our contributors, our listeners, and our participants for participating today on Missing Pages of History as we discuss what's going on in the neck of that woods. Remember, this is a bi-weekly program. You can tune in to us every other Saturday at 12 noon. Any contribution you'd like to send to us, you can always send it to us at P.O. Box 27782. email us, Richmond, Virginia, 23261. And you can email us for any information, any support at Missing Pages History 1.